JC Corcoran Podcast.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Thursday, December 16th, 2021. Christmas Eve is 1 week from tomorrow. 327 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. And here comes the goddamn COVID again. I told you we were not out of this, and it's just getting worse and worse. People who have gotten both shots, you know, Moderna or Pfizer, and then got the booster on top of it, are coming down with this Omicron. You know, yesterday, I think I mispronounced the damn thing all the entire podcast, but it's Omicron, and at least get the booster. You know, here's the thing. There's a lot of people who don't understand or are deliberately not understanding the difference between mitigation and elimination. You got people like Eric Schmidt running around going, masks don't work. Why don't they work, Eric? Well, number one, I'm running for a higher office, and so I got to do the whole Trump thing. But the other reason is that I know somebody who got the shots and wore a mask and they still got COVID. Therefore, masks don't work. Well, Eric, I know you're the attorney general of the state of Missouri and everything like that, but did you have mono or something for those months in school where they were teaching math? Because remember hearing that some of these shots give you like 90% protection or 85% protection? So that means, Eric, doesn't it, that there's 10% possibility out there that you can have all your shots and wear a mask and still catch COVID, doesn't it? But I guess you didn't think of that. And also, again, those two words, mitigation and elimination. Somebody gets COVID who's wearing a mask. See, it doesn't work. Well, nobody ever said it was going to, you know, wearing a mask was going to eliminate your chance. It's mitigating. It's reducing. Oh, storms again last night. You know, temperatures in the 60s and 70s in the middle of December in Minnesota. That's where some of the real damage was last night. Straight line winds, a couple of tornadoes, stuff like that. The most interesting part of all of this these days, well, first of all, Joe Biden showed up in Kentucky yesterday and some dude was wearing a Packers sweatshirt or something like that. And Biden looked at him and said, tell that quarterback to get vaccinated, which I thought was pretty funny. Proving again that even in the midst of a tragedy, you can still find humor. It is possible. But people are finding remnants of people's lives, you know, scrapbooks and, you know, DVDs and just stuff like that, 130 miles away from where the tornado hit. So you're sitting there in Mayfield, Kentucky, whoop, up in the air, there goes your photo album, and it comes down like in Pennsylvania or something. But there's some pretty cool stories that have emerged from people who are finding this stuff 130 miles away and making a serious effort to try to find the people and get them some of their stuff. You know, in the case of some of these people in Kentucky, that's going to be all they have in terms of what life was like before the tornado outbreak. And again, our friends at the Salvation Army, and we were talking about it yesterday, about the fact that it was the anniversary of the final Food and Cash Salvation Bash. Salvation Army right there, you know, cooking up hot meals. I wish they didn't have to give you a sermon first, but got to take the bad with the good. By the way, we have an entire culture, a subculture in this country that likes to jump on the weather guys, on the meteorologists when they blow a forecast. Well, just for the record, the weather guys said the storm would hit in the St. Louis area about 8:30, and it hit almost at exactly 8:30. And the storm track and the path and the outbreak of, it was over 40 tornadoes, hit in almost exactly the swath across the lower Midwest and sort of upper South, if you will. They predicted it almost down to the letter. So give credit where credit's due. And I got this guy who listens to the podcast and follows me on social media. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to embarrass him, but I finally just was, well, let me tell you the story. All Friday evening, like late afternoon and into the evening, this guy is all over my Facebook page referring to the meteorologist as Chicken Littles. Well, the Chicken Littles are at it again. The Chicken Littles, the Chicken Littles. And then somebody would say, well, if you look at the radar, you can see that this stuff is coming. And if you pay attention to the news reports, you know, these storms that are headed our way have a history of producing tornadoes. And even though they're in the formulative stages, it looks like this is really, really serious. And you have watches and warnings all over the place. And the weather guys are using the kind of language that they only use when they really want to get your attention, because they are so sure of what's going to happen that it warrants that kind of verbiage. Like I said, the weather guys are jumping up and down. Well, they had been for 2 or 3 days, because you could see this, the setup of what you need for a severe weather outbreak to occur. And it was like, you know, textbook stuff. And they're like, this is going to be really bad. Please take this seriously. And when they say, you know, if you're going out on Friday night, just make sure you got your phone with you and make sure you're paying attention to weather updates, because, again, this is serious. So while all that's happening, this guy is all over my social media again with the chicken. And then somebody would respond to him and he would still come back with this Chicken Little bullshit. And so I finally had had enough. And I said, look, this has all the earmarks of one of these, you know, really, really unusual severe weather outbreaks. And you better take it seriously. Everybody else better, too. And by the way, what are you using as your science, your research? Where did you get your meteorology degree? And of course, he doesn't, but comes right back with the Chicken Little thing again. And so I responded again. And you guessed it. Again, he comes back with his Chicken Little bullshit. Well, an hour later, the storms hit. One tornado flattens the Amazon place in Edwardsville. And I get up on Saturday morning, and mysteriously, all of those comments on my Facebook page by this guy have been deleted. But again, I guess it's sort of like the mask thing, you know, the difference between mitigation and elimination. You know, the weather forecast is the same thing. It's a forecast. It is, when they say an 80% chance of rain, it doesn't rain at your house. Well, you're the 20%. It doesn't mean the forecast was wrong. It means you were in the 20%. It's not like it didn't rain all around you. It just didn't rain at your house. You know, people want weather forecasting to be an exact science, especially when it comes to snow. And it's not. It's not an exact science. And you can jump up and down and scream all you want, and it's never going to be an exact science with the technology we have right now. You know, maybe sometime 50 or 100 years from now, they'll be able to, you know, they'll be able to put a forecast out and show exactly where the raindrops are going to fall. But until then, you got these guys and women who are all trying their best to give you a decent forecast and come as close to what's going to happen as possible. And they get it right more than they get it wrong. But again, it's one of those things where, well, it's just the nature of the beast. It's an occupational hazard. When you get it wrong, people want to jump halfway up your colon. All right. How about this story here today? And I think this will develop as the day goes on. Yesterday, I didn't even do the story because it was like, yeah, people leave media jobs all the time. And Michelle Tafoya, who does those sideline reports for Monday Night Football, said that the network something like 14 years or something, and just said she's going to be leaving her sideline post on Monday Night Football. Well, it turns out now, I didn't even know this, a couple of weeks ago, she was on The View, and they had her in the quote-unquote conservative seat and made some comments about Colin Kaepernick that did not set well with the NFL. Somebody brought up the idea that the NFL players compared to slaves. She took what I guess is the conservative view on this, although that doesn't really make any sense to me. Apparently the NFL was watching or heard about it and didn't like it. And she's actually being removed. And while I do not appreciate or I don't like her comments that she made, I also don't like the idea that you speak your mind on something like this, on something completely unrelated to the NFL job that you have, and you end up losing your job. I don't like that either. Those sideline jobs are stupid anyhow. It's almost always a woman. She's almost always there just for eye candy, do some sort of trivial, you know, just unnecessary story about somebody that they could just as easily do from the booth. But the, you know, the producers of the show want to establish presence. You know, we have somebody on the sideline, so if something happens, and almost nothing does. it all works out pretty well when somebody is injured and they can get you an injury report right away. But you can also do it with two-way radios, walkie-talkies, just the communication that exists between and among the people doing the broadcasts. It's all for effect. They're not actually providing you with any significant information that you couldn't get if you didn't have somebody standing on the sideline. It's eye candy. Yet another report on voter fraud, and it turns out that it's 0.002%. Say had something like 160 million votes cast, and they came up with something like 400 instances where people tried to vote twice, and many of them were actually Republicans trying to cast extra votes for Trump. But it doesn't matter. States are passing these voter suppression laws all over the place. Remember when we were kids and we would make fun of, you know, banana republics or, you know, strong men like Noriega or something like that? These guys like Gaddafi who would walk around in a military outfit instead of a suit? Not so funny now, is it? Here's something I did not know, and I saw this on the news yesterday. You know, we do all this cancer screening stuff, and there's quite an industry built around the whole, like, colorectal cancer thing. You got that little box who's following people around going, stick this up your ass, stick this up your ass. Okay, well, I'll think about it. Cologuard, I think it's called, the American Cancer Society. But it's always like the ones that you hear about, you know, the colon cancer, the lung cancer, and stuff like that. Turns out 71% of all cancers are caused by a type of cancer other than those ones that we always test for, the ones that we screen for most actively. So apparently they're coming up with, I guess they're very close to some sort of blood test that is going to be able to detect cancers, even the, and this is a misnomer, of course, but the less popular ones, for lack of a better way of stating it. On this date in 2004, I did one of my book signings at a Barnes & Noble up in North County. And the person who was second in line was a very attractive young woman who didn't have much to say. She was second in line. I signed the book. It was dedicated to a family member of hers. I was happy to do it. I watched her walk away, and that was it. Until I ended up marrying her several years later. True story. Dan Fogelberg died on this date in 2007. He's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's criminal. He belongs in. I've often said that if you don't have the Souvenirs CD in your music collection, you have a gaping hole in it. You just don't realize it yet. That's one of those albums, if you will, where you could, as we used to say, drop the needle on any track and you would get a very, very good song. I mean, think about it. There's a place in the world for a gambler. Part of the plan. Morning Sky. Someone's been telling you stories. As the Raven Flies. Just that album alone should put him in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Maybe someday. I am knocked out by the pictures that my buddy Brian McKenna posted yesterday of the redo on Tower T. And if you recall this, I mean, Tower T was just the greatest place to go. I used to do, batting cage stuff in there. Still had that Chicago Cubs emblem up on the screen up there. You'd try to hit it with a batted ball. And then somebody said, oh, no more Tower T. We're going to turn it into some housing development. And I don't know exactly what happened. All I know is that fell through. And so the Tower T people said, okay, well, let's just tear the place apart and start over and build a new facility here. And it was a smart idea. If you want to stay in that business, you got to do stuff like that now because you've got these mega things like the thing out on 40, these giant multi-million dollar complexes, and you got this little place in Shrewsbury. So they tore it all down and built it back up, and you ought to I can't wait to see it. You're going to be in town in about 2 weeks, and I just can't wait to see it. Nice job, everybody. Real nice job. Just about the time you thought that this Ben Affleck J-Lo thing was for real, there's trouble in paradise. J-Lo pissed about Ben's comments on the Howard Stern show a couple of days ago about when he said that I was drinking, I became an alcoholic because of my marriage to Jennifer Garner. And J-Lo not happy about that for whatever reason. Can't imagine. You're going to blink and it's going to be 2022. The Internet Movie Database released a list of movies that people say they are most excited about seeing next year. The Flash at number 10, Uncharted, Mission Impossible 7, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness at 6, Jurassic World, Killers of the Flower Moon, Top Gun, Maverick. I think that movie's been in the can for something like a year and a half, and they keep waiting for an opportunity to release it when the theaters are, you know, flourishing again. And I think they're waiting for something that may not necessarily happen. I'm not sure people are going to come back to the theaters in droves, at least not anytime soon. Doesn't look like it to me. That's the number four most anticipated movie, according to these folks. Thor, Love and Thunder at 3, Scream at number 2, and The Batman, of course, at number 1. The Michelle Tafoya lists Thursday night football game. The NFL Network tonight, Chargers hosting Kansas City. That should be a good game. Also tonight, 8 o'clock, MTV, Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga, MTV Unplugged. That could be worth your time. Series premiere of MacGruber on Peacock, late night tonight. One of the guys, the first time I saw this guy, I said, you got a superstar waiting to happen right here. His name is Bowen Yang. He's the Asian guy on Saturday Night Live. And I'm telling you, this guy is one of the most talented people I have ever seen on television. This guy's going to be on Jimmy Fallon along with Scarlett Johansson tonight. Elton John and Ed Sheeran on with Kimmel. Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohn on with Colbert. Kristen Davis pops up with James Corden. Kyle Mooney, real funny guy, also from Saturday Night Live, will be on with Seth Meyers. Back to football for a minute. The NFL Players Association says the league is responsible for the current COVID outbreak because they stopped daily testing. Something we had a bunch of guys test positive on Monday, and then like something like 50 more of them tested positive yesterday. Baker Mayfield, just think about this for a minute. You know, Cleveland holding on to their playoff hopes. You know, Cleveland for the first time in, I don't remember how long it's been, and now their quarterback isn't going to be able to play in all likelihood because of COVID. I'm jumping around here. We just did movies back to movies for a minute. Big chunks of the new Spider-Man No Way Home showed up on YouTube yesterday, and Sony went crazy trying to go into overdrive to get them taken down. Some of the stuff is still kicking around on the internet if you can find it. Late yesterday, we found out that, and again, this is a sign of the times, Bruce Springsteen has sold his publishing catalog to Sony. Price tag, $500 million. And 51 years after its release, there's a new all-star video of My Sweet Lord by George Harrison featuring Mark Hamill, Fred Armisen, Vanessa Bayer, John Hamm, Weird Al Yankovic, Ringo, and Joe Walsh. I'll be checking out that thing after the podcast today. Birthdays today, The Fridge, William Perry, Chicago Bears, 59. Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, 72. Leslie Stahl, I've interviewed her a couple of times. She is 80 today and still looking sensational. Hasn't lost a step. A tremendous reporter for 60 Minutes, 80 years old today. Stephen Bochco would have had a birthday today. He died in 2018. He was the guy that gave his doozy. Doogie Howser, L.A. Law, Hill Street Blues, NYPD Blue. Rain Man, Dustin Hoffman and Tom Cruise came out 33 years ago on this date, 1988. And 27 years ago, 1994, Jim Carrey as Harry, this guy as Lloyd. We're talking Jeff Daniels. Dumb and dumber.
I was telling Jeff for 16 years, I made, over the course of 16 years, probably like 175 trips to L.A., about 150 to New York, a couple of some other places, doing that whole movie junket thing. And it's finally nice to see somebody come here to see me. Did your audience know how maddening that little process is?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like cattle to slaughter. It's really horrible.
Yeah. If you can get anything out of anybody, if you can get one little morsel, one little soundbite that you can come back and sort of make your own, It's been a good trip.
They stick you in a room, the actor, they stick you in a room with lights, and then there's one of you guys, somebody different every 4 minutes. And it is every 4 minutes. And by the end of the day, I don't know my name.
You know? So. Good thing they keep telling you from time
to
time.
But I'm glad to be in here.
Yeah. So we saw the movie last night, and I could say a lot of things, but I guess I'll just start with, you're not right.
Just not right, Jeff.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, let me go back to not the very beginning, but sort of the beginning. Here's a guy who is in Terms of Endearment. Terms of Endearment, for God's sakes. Purple Rose of Cairo, a Woody Allen movie. I mean, there are actors and actresses that just salivated to the very thought of hearing that Woody Allen might possibly be interested in their services. And you do those movies, and then along comes a choice for you to take Dumb and Dumber. Just tell me what the thought process was. Tell me what your agent said. Tell me what your friends said, your fellow actors. People must have thought you were out of your mind.
Absolutely. First of all, Dumb and Dumber, I wanted to shake the career up. You know, I was on the Oscar trail, you know, of trying to get nominated as if that's a goal. And I just said, you know what, this is ridiculous, and let's do something completely different. And so we shopped around and tried to get something, and went out to LA for one of those 5-day trips and auditioned in a lot of films, but one of them was Dumb and Dumber, and that's the one that they said, we want you. So I had 3 agents on the phone the night before I was going to fly out and start wardrobe for Dumb and Dumber. 2 of them were saying, you cannot do this movie. You will ruin your career if you do this movie. And the agent I've had for 25 years said, go ahead. You need to shake it up. And so we did, and Jim couldn't have been nicer to me and more generous throughout the whole filming of it. I mean, he really made sure that my jokes were worked and that he didn't step all over me. He was great. I remember doing Saturday Night Live 6 months later, and Alec Baldwin came up, and he said, damn you. I'm going, why, Alec? What's wrong? You know, nice to meet you, too. And he said, I'm screaming at my agent. I wish I had done something like that.
I was in the shower this morning thinking about this. We start a Beatles feature every morning at 9:20 called Fab Four with one of those Chris Farley interview things with Paul McCartney. You did one of
we
those
We did the first
downs.
One.
The first one.
We did the first. I was doing Saturday Night Live, and that was the first time they ever did that sketch, was with me, and then later was with McCartney.
Where
and
Chris
then,
gets really nervous hits himself in the head for asking stupid questions.
And you just sit there and
just sort of nod and let him go down, let him wrap the rope around his neck and take himself down.
It's kind of like being at a junket.
This is the Chris Farley Show, and tonight, my host is Jeff Daniels, one of the greatest actors around, I guess. God, I hate doing this part, man. I never know what to say.
No, you're doing fine, Chris. You're doing good.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. Anyway. Mr. Daniels has done The Purple Rose of Cairo, Terms of Endearment, Arachnophobia, and Something Wild, which is an awesome flick.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
You remember in Something Wild when Melanie Griffith had you handcuffed to the bed? Remember that?
Yeah.
And you had to make that phone call, remember? Yeah. And you were chained to the thing and you couldn't get away?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
That was awesome. Okay, so you were also in The Purple Rose of Cairo.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. Remember when you were doing your movie and Mia Farrow was watching and then you came down off the screen and talked to her? And you were in black and white when you were on the screen, but then when you talked to her, you were in color?
Yeah, what about it?
You remember that?
Yes, yeah.
That won some awards, didn't it?
No, not really.
Oh, God dang it, what an idiot. I'm sorry. Now, you're doing another movie. What's that called?
The Butcher's Wife with Demi Moore.
Oh, yeah, Demi Moore. She's married to Bruce Willis, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Did you see Die Hard?
Yeah, I did.
Remember when he was, he had to cross all that broken glass without his shoes on, and there was nothing he could do about it, so he just walked on all the broken glass with his bare feet?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. did you like that?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too. That was awesome. Okay, we're going to open up the lines now if you want to talk to Jeff Daniels. Okay, there's someone on the line. Hello?
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 Yeah, is Jeff Daniels there?
Yeah, he's right here. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, Jeff, my name is Dawn, and, do you remember that scene in Arachnophobia when you went into that barn and you found that big spider?
Yes.
And you figured out why there were all these spiders everywhere?
Yes, I was in that scene. I remember.
Oh, well, yeah, it was great.
Thank you.
You sound familiar. Did you call in last week when Arnold Schwarzenegger was on the show?
Oh, yeah, that was me.
You remember when you asked him if he remembered when he said, I'll be back in both Terminators?
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Such funny stuff. Such funny stuff. Jeff Daniels, Dumb and Dumber, released 27 years ago today in 1994. And that's it. We put a lid on the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, December 16th, 2021. 327 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We're here every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock, half hour, absolutely free. We archive everything. We only do politics when it is unavoidable. You may email me at jc@jcontheline.com. On Facebook, we're at The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
J.C. Corcoran Podcast.